to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome.
This podcast is the sermon for March 10th, 2024, the fourth Sunday in Lent by Father John Muhlendike.
Kind of unusual 3 days or three weekends of preaching here. We're trying to look at the whole of creation and the story of salvation in three Sundays. And we kind of framed it in terms of the Father creating things, the Son who's coming in to save things, and the Holy Spirit who's going to do another piece next week. So the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we're 2 weeks into it. This may seem a little strange to some of you who are expecting just a single sermon on one particular topic. Last week we handed out and you were able to pick up, I don't know if you know that, but these pieces of tile, most of you got them? Everybody got one? Okay. All right, good. Yes. We're able to work with them this week a little bit. Different side to you. There's a shiny side that that's the side that you always show other people. No matter how badly you feel, you look good, you put on your makeup, you dress really appropriately. And then there's the other side, which is not too cool, but that's probably you too. And then there's also the sides that are sharp. In life, we get bitter, we have sharp edges, we take things out on other people. So we all have sharp sides. So that's what we had handed out last week to think about, meditate this week, and I hope most of you have brought it back. If you haven't done that, there's a few extra pieces in the front here. When you come up to communion, you can grab one and you can put it at the table here. We'll show you what to do with it. The story of salvation, I'm doing it a little differently because I'm a Franciscan. Because I'm doing it from a Franciscan point of view. In the old stories that the world was created and Adam and Eve were in the garden and the snake came along and the sin. So the story kept going on that way. From a Franciscan standpoint, life is kind of like a flow. It's like a river. So all kinds of stuff in the river. But God works in that river, flows and pushes people along. And there's also different things in the river that you don't want. There are rocks. There are branches that come down. There's others that come down. Because, you have all these things. If you've ever been down in the river in a canoe, and if you float down, you get immersed in a lot of that stuff. And it's like life. You're going to run into rocks, death, sickness, financial problems. You're going to run. You're still running in that river of life, but you're going to be hitting these things. The problem is that people don't like to hit the rocks. And so what happened a long time ago, people decided they were going to get out of that river. Why stay in the river when it doesn't feel real comfortable all the time, even though God is there with you? Because you know why? Because you can do it better yourself. You know? It's like, Jesus, I can find the answer myself. Why should I talk to somebody who's older? I can get it all here, and I can get it all right. And then we have high suicide rates going like this. We've got drug abuse going like this. Can't do it. But anyway, people took off, and they decided to get out of the river. And so they climbed up out of the river. Somebody probably slid on the side of the hills, and they got going, and they moved along, and they got down the pathway away from the river, and suddenly, they stumbled on something else. They stumbled on a log. And then they went and they got scratched because the bushes had prickers in them. And if you want to go back far enough, you could say Adam and Eve. You can take a look at that one. Have you ever worn fig leaves? Do you know what they feel like? They're the itchiest thing you can get. Imagine they could have come up with something better than that, but they didn't. They came up with a fig leaf. And of course, they put them right where you would imagine. So it wasn't real comfortable. So as people went along, God looked at them out of compassion, put the Ten Commandments in there and said, look at the Ten Commandments, they're a direction back toward that river. And the people said, Ten Commandments, okay. We don't need to listen to that. We know better. I know better. I don't have to listen to that. God didn't put the Ten Commandments there in order to punish you. Don't ever get that idea. Put them there to protect you. If you do those things, you have some kind of protection around you. And so they didn't believe them, and they went on their merry way. Well, after time, things got worse. And as they walked down alongside the river, they got further and further away from it. They got into an infestation of, and I'm going to bring it into, with today's reading, of snakes. Now, how many like snakes? We got a couple who like snakes. That's okay. Depends on what kind you got. That's all right. But the snakes that were in here today were a different, weren't the little friendly ones. They were called asps. Now, I said that correctly. Asps. They were little teeny ones with a vicious, vicious bite. And when you got bit by one of those things, you got sick. I mean, really, really sick. You wanted to die. You got a fever that went through the roof. You got dehydrated. You got thirsty. There wasn't enough water around for you to quench your thirst. And what you did is you fell to the ground and you curled up into a little ball and you just couldn't move. Have you ever been so sick you laid in bed and you curled up and you couldn't get out of bed? That's the way these people were, but they didn't have beds. They laid on the ground. And luckily somebody would come up to them to help them out. So they laid there by themselves, and usually the outcome of being bit by an asp was, you died. You died. And that came about at a time when people were complaining and they were moaning and they didn't like what God was doing. And so finally they got to the point that they complained to Moses and they said, Moses, God isn't very good. Look what he's doing to us. And Moses was like dumbstruck. He didn't know what to do with that. He's dealt with a lot of other things. So what he does is he goes and prays to God, and God gives him an answer. And God says, go make a serpent and put it on a pole. And so, and then there's another verse that comes right after that. It says he went and he made a bronze serpent. I imagine Moses had a little bit of trouble to begin with. I imagine he went and tried to put an asp up on top of a pole and got bit several times, maybe himself, but didn't like doing that job at all. So he went and got a bronze one, got somebody to hammer one out. And so he began to make a stake, and he put it up on that pole. I think we got a pole. Laura, I raided your cupboard. So we got, if that's okay with you. Okay. She can say no. Anyway, and he wrapped it around the pole, and he put it up really, really high. This guy's going to give you trouble this morning. He got warm from this morning. That's what happened. And put it up, and people could, who were laying down on the ground, could get up there and they could look at it. Snake, serpent. And everybody who looked at that serpent was healed. And those people who didn't look at it, they died. Now you can almost, from a medical standpoint, look at this and say, people who were laying on the ground, curled up, didn't want to look up, didn't move at all. But those that were able to move and had faith to look up were healed. So it would take years later, another snake, people, the viper, people didn't like snakes, and they didn't like Jesus either. He'd come about 1,000 years later, and he would actually be placed up on a pole also. So that snake was a forerunner of what we're going to see in Jesus Christ, who's going to be lifted way up, everybody can see. Now, where have you seen this before? Where have you seen a snake on a pole? Medical, you got it. Boy, that's really pretty good. Yep, it's actually Caduceus. I was going to ask Dr. King that, but she would have got that right away. So that's one of healing. When people look up, we get that idea of healing. So despite that being there, despite Jesus being lifted up, despite God seeing the people walking along that river and being bitten by snakes and living awful, horrible life, they decide once again, I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to be better. And so Jesus leads them, and he shows them the way. He points the way. The river's there. The river of life is here. I'm going to show you how to do it. I'm not going to tell you how to do it like the Ten Commandments. I'm going to show you. And so he brings the people down to the river, right to the edge. And what he does is he shows them the water of the river and allows them to feel the water once again, splashing over them, cleaning them, freeing them, all of them. You want one too? Gotcha. Okay. I did it this morning, and some of the people, I had to walk around right now because when I did it this morning, people said, I didn't feel a drop. So I thought, oh man, what do I got to do this time? Okay. So you're all going to get there. You're right alongside of that river, and you're getting splashed with all of that water. Okay? Sheila, you get it too. Jim? You? Yes, okay. You get the rusty horse, Steve. Now watch me get the cameraman. There we go. All right, okay. And we'll get the choir. So anyway, the water is splashing, and it's coming up to the people, and it's in their baptism. And Jesus says, remember, I went into the waters, and I went down into the waters. I didn't need to get baptized. But the waters of the earth needed to be changed. So I went down there to change the waters of the earth. And all the waters of the earth, when they were changed, also became part of them. The rain that came down and became part of all the water that baptized all of you. And you're feeling it. Everybody's on the edge of the river. They're ready to jump in. And suddenly at the last minute, they say, I don't think I want to go in. And Jesus says, oh. He says, what's keeping you back? And what was keeping them back was their memories. Jesus said, you're saved. You're a different person. And they say, but I have these memories. I have these old memories. I've got the parts of me that show good, and I've got the parts that are bad. And I've got these sharp edges, just like the sting of the serpents. He says, I have sharp edges toward people. I've got it toward my mother and my father. I've got it toward the banker. I've got it toward everybody I can't stand. And so they hang on to it. And you push it close to them. And Jesus says, drop it. And you say, I can't. So how will they get back into the river? Next week, we'll give you the answer to that. That's honestly. But in the meantime, I hope this has been a good practice for you, practice for those of you who took this home, of looking and self-reflection. What we're going to do today is we're going to have you come up with communion. You come up to communion. Bring your pieces with you. If the kids don't have a piece, there's some in the basket here. But bring it up here and lay it on the table. Okay? This is the table of the community. We try to do things alone all the time. I can do it myself. If you do it yourself, why do you need to go to church? I mean, you can read up on this on the internet, you can get this on the phone who Jesus is. You can even believe. But the church provides a different function. It brings people together because something else happens. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in and does something else And next week we're going to explore what that is. In the meantime, throughout this week, you're all forgiven in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.